Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partners, plural today, of Pocket Aces Racing, Mark Wampler and Jared Shoemaker. And we have sat down. We are doing an absolutely massive episode. It is going to be our Oaks and Derby preview episodes. It's going to be split in half. So the Oaks will drop first on Wednesday, and then we will have the Derby one go on probably Friday morning. But other than that, how are you both doing today? We're here. It is Derby week.
I'm doing fantastic. Feeling good.
Are you feeling good about your choices for the Derby and the Oaks? You thinking?
Today I am.
Well, you know, it's Derby week, and that can only mean one thing, and that's rain.
Oh, yeah.
So it rained overnight, and it looks like we got a chance of rain on Friday and Saturday. Hopefully it will hold off, but man, it sure does seem to hit a lot.
Springtime in Kentucky.
Yeah. I say that's kind of endemic for us at this point, isn't it? It's like, out of the last 10 years, it's rained like in 8 of those years?
Something crazy like that.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the COVID Derby, but other than that, when it's run in May, when it's been run in May, we have a ridiculous track record of it raining. Obviously, do we have any quick, do we want to do some quick updates, Jared, or do we just want to dive right into this Kentucky Oaks? We got a lot to go through today.
Well, yeah, we can talk a little bit about, real quick. We've got some surprise availability in a couple of the three-year-olds that are getting closer to making their debuts in King of the Party and Accusatory. And we had Oscar season, but he was snapped up real quick. And so, if you're interested and thinking about joining in on a, lower dollar commitment, those would be some good ones. Hyperbolize is also in that mix. And all of them are getting close to debuts, and be a good affordable way to jump in and kind of test the waters and see how you like being a thoroughbred owner.
Yeah, and what better weekend to do it than this one, right? Let's so since we've gone ahead and kind of spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the Oaks first. So the Oaks is going to be the last graded contest on Friday at Churchill Downs. It's going to go off at 5:51. It is a grade one, obviously. And from what I've seen, it looks like we have a pretty diversified group. We've got former claimers in here. We've got million-dollar babies. We've got, horses who have never been off the board in their life. And then we have, the one-for-niners. So it's we have a pretty good mix of horses this year. Have you guys had a look at the past performances yet? How are you guys feeling as a general overview of the race? How are we feeling? Do we think that there's a super huge standout for you guys, or do you think it's going to be a pretty even race?
Oh, I've got a standout.
Oh, do you?
I think there's one that on paper that is in my mind head and shoulders above the rest. But I'm gonna make another pick though. But I do think that there is one that, on paper at least, looks like going to be very, very tough to beat.
Fair. Who's that?
We'll get to it.
he's going to keep it under. He's going to keep it in his sleeve here. I guess we'll it'll be a surprise. We'll find out when we get there.
My ace up the sleeve.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. It'll be one of those situations where Jared pops out of the cake and it's it's this one.
It shouldn't be any surprise, really. But
no, probably not.
I didn't think there was a horse in the Oaks that couldn't get beat. And it's one of the things I look for when I try to do some handicapping is, can this horse even be beat? And especially at this level, it takes a really nice horse who finds a way to win, even if they don't get the best trip, if the pace scenario doesn't set up just right for them. And I don't see a horse in the Oaks that I see, that can overcome if they don't get their way on Friday, if they have to overcome things, either, a pace scenario or a bad trip. It's really special horses, especially at this level, that can face those kind of adversities and still win the race. And I don't see any to me in the Oaks, I don't see a horse like that.
Fair. Well, let's just start at the top then. So we have, right from the rail, we have what looks to be kind of a horse who can pretty much do a little bit of everything, and that's Tappet Jenilee. And she's a Willis Horton Racing homebred for them, and she's trained by Eddie Milligan. And from what I've seen, she's pretty much been pretty consistent. She's either blown him away here, or she's won, race second, third. And the couple of times where it seems where she's weakened, it kind of felt like she had pace pressure. And obviously, she's not going to have everything to her own again here today. And it seems like whenever she's not, head and shoulders up in the front, if she has a little bit of pressure, especially if it's going to be really heated pace here, it seems kind of a little bit like she falls apart.
I didn't see the way I see this race is there's not a ton of speed of the speed. Just a, I've only got a couple horses that just look like out and out blistering horses, but there's a ton of horses in here with speed. They're going to be pressing pace, but pressing it from the front, not the middle, And I just saw Tappet Jenilee. Is that how you pronounce it? Jenilee?
Generally.
In that group of, I just like other, she's graded stakes place. She's been running against some nice horses. I just, in that, there's a whole lot of horses in here, and you would expect most horses to be pressers, it's what most horses do. I just like others, I just like others better in that group of horses that I think are going to be pressing the pace. She's done all right, but I just see her having to take too big a step up to challenge in this race.
I mean, she's won two races. Both of them, one of them was her debut at Remington Park. She won that easily. She won the My Trusty Cat Stakes at I think that's what it's called, at Delta Downs, and that was over the slop. And
Which
then,
is good given the forecast.
she's hit the board a couple times since then. But I mean, I just think like, she's just going to be a little outclassed with a lot of the horses in this field. And I think she's going to be up against it on the rail. Just don't see her as one that's going to be in the mix at the end. I just think she just doesn't have, she's just not going to have what it takes to compete. As Mark said, she's going to have to take too big of a step up that I don't see her making.
Well, and it's like her numbers from those two early wins at Remington Park and Delta Downs, her numbers where she's blowing horses out of the, she's blowing the field out by almost 8 lengths, almost 5.5 lengths. Like here she's running, fifth, fourth, second, and third, and they're not that divergent numbers from what she ran on that debut and that second time out in the stakes race. So yeah, I kind of agree here with both of you that she's going to be asked to do a lot, and it's not unusual for horses to do that, to suddenly run the race of their life, even if, it happens every year, but it is going to be asking her to do a lot, I think. So I happen to agree with both of you there.
And that's a good point. In both races, these horses are so young, they're coming on by leaps and bounds. And a lot of years a horse comes from out of nowhere who's just maturing. We see it with Pocket Aces with our horses from yearling to 2-year-old, 2-year-old to 3-year-old, how much they're always changing. But that's when you're handicapping these races, it's hard to know. If you're going to try to guess which horse, I mean, trainers and riders and exercise riders and grooms are, they're going to know more about that. When you're just looking at their form, it's a big part of the Derby. It's why handicapping the Derby, I think, is so hard. And the Oaks is, it's just hard to know who is making those big strides forward. And, so what I'm looking for is the ones who don't have to make too big a stride forward,
And do we feel kind of similarly then about to the horse to her inside, the Hightail Filly, Jinjin from Calumet Farm, also a homebred that they're racing? She's Brad Cox trained. She's kind of, done the she's been on the board 6 times out of 7 lifetime, but like her numbers pretty consistently kind of put her and Jenna Lee pretty far in the back of the field compared to some of these others.
Yeah, she was a toss out for me. I just, listed stakes, maiden special weights. She's doing well, but she hasn't transitioned well to graded stakes so far, and I think she's got too much to do, to a class issue.
Yeah. And
Same, just
it's
too much improvement to make, and just just going to be up against it. And kudos to them for getting her here, but
Yeah.
I don't see her really having any impact on this race at all.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what the then kind of as we keep going, we'll just keep going through the field here and chime in and whenever you're ready. But I think that's why that's what made Where's My Ring so fascinating for a lot of people, where she was kind of putting up, we were talking about how horses will start maturing and start improving. And I mean, she was an 0 for 7 maiden going into the Gazelle, and then she just popped out of there and won by 4.5 lengths. And I think that's what was very interesting for a lot of folks, is that like suddenly, boom, here she is. And she was a 0 for 7, now she's 1 for 8 going into the Oaks.
Yeah, she just she, and she'd been running. The big key for me is that she'd put up some big numbers before, just in terms of buyer speed figures, and that, the February race, the maiden special weight, and the Santa Isabel. I mean, it's not like she didn't have to take nearly as big a step forward to hit that 90 and get the win and the Gazelle as some of the other horses, as the previous two horses that we talked about that would have had to make that step up. And it's just she's one that I think, maybe you got to put her in the mix as one that's going to be up close fairly early and kind of pressing that pace. It looks like that's how she runs, tends to run her best. And so I think she just fits to me. She fits a whole lot more.
Yeah.
My feeling on her was she does her best running on the front end. It's actually kind of like night and day. You just let, she's got she's the kind of filly you just got to let her do her thing, or she's gonna fight you and it's gonna get ugly. I don't know that. I haven't seen her run, but just looking at her PPs, she looks like she's kind of horse who's gonna do a lot better when you just let her do, let her go, let her do her thing. And I think in this, I know she won going a mile and an eighth in the grade three in the Gazelle last time out, but I just see a filly like this getting caught up going too fast, too early, with the other. It's not a ton. I don't have her as the speed of the speed. I have Fiona's Magic and Into Champagne as the speed of the speed, but I just, she got the mile and an eighth last time out in 48 and change, 112 and four. And actually, she was off that. She's going to want to be forwardly placed, and she's going to have to work harder to do it in this race. And so she could win this race, but I see that telling on her later.
Yeah, and I happen to agree. Like, if you look at her running, the running lines that you mentioned, I mean, she's had some bad luck. Like, she was stopped, she was crowded, she bobbled, she had a terrible break, and then she was lugging in all over the place. So I think a lot for her was also a mental aspect too, and it's gonna play a lot, because this is one of those situations where there's 100, 150,000 people screaming at her, and she'll never have that again. And that's, I mean, that's different. Like, Aqueduct, let's be honest, it's not gonna be the crowd for Gazelle and Wood Memorial Day is not gonna be anything like Oaks and Derby Day. So I think mentally, she might end up being kind of her own worst enemy, because like for her first six or five or six starts, she was all over the place. So and her running lines are pretty pretty telling.
I think like Mark said, she's got a chance that she could win this race, but I think she will be up towards the front and thus playing some kind of factor, whether she's pushing the early leaders or she's setting an early, quick early pace or what, or maybe she just gets run off her feet coming out of the gate. I don't know, but it's definitely she looks like she's at least going to be in a position where she can impact the race one way or the other. Not saying that she's going to hit the board, but she might be in a position where she's doing something that is impacting the other horses somewhere along the way.
So, I mean, we'll kind of move down to next to regulatory risk. That she's actually coming out of that same race as Where's My Ring and Jinjin, who we mentioned up at the top, in the second gate here. And she, I think, was one of those kind of relative unknowns. She was 19-1 in that race. And this is a Clarovich Stables Chad Brown partnership. Like they win, they've won the Preakness. They've had some really, really good horses there. It's what we call a high powered kind of connection group here. But she's been running on some nasty, nasty surfaces, like Aqueduct Muddy, Aqueduct Sloppy, and then she caught a fast track in the Gazelle. And also she jumped up from the mile distances to the mile and an eighth, and she kind of didn't have much of a response, but I don't think a lot of people thought she would, given the fact that she was 19-1. So do we take it that that was a good performance for her? And now, like, the blinkers are coming off as well here. So do we take that as a good performance for her, or do we kind of give her a knock because Where's My Ring kind of came into it as a huge unknown who suddenly popped out of nowhere?
Yeah, there's just too much of a mystery for here for me to get behind this horse. I mean, she's got excuses. Those, running on the slop, running on the mud. I always get concerned when I see these horses, and like I say, she's got excuses, but she's popped this big race. I would prefer to see her coming on and developing at a steady pace, and then instead of just popping this number, this buyer number 20 points higher than she normally runs, she is, I think the connections are important. Chad Brown, Klarovich, the people who pick out Klarovich's horses, they know what they're doing. They pick out a nice horse. She's just too big of a question mark for me. It would be one of those that just she's capable. But is she gonna, she you look at all the rest of her form, and then it's just got one race where she's shown that she might be this caliber of horse, and I trust others a little bit better.
That's fair. Any thoughts, Jared?
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, it's just, she's had one good race out of five, and which is the real horse? Is she truly taking a step forward? Or did she just happen to freak that day? And I would be I'll be looking elsewhere.
Fair.
Not for me.
Just in general, otherwise we're looking elsewhere. That's fair. So I mean, so then one then we kind of start getting into the meat and potatoes of the field here, because we have Thorpedo Anna. She's a fast Anna out of an Uncle Mo mare, Brookdale Racing, Mark Edwards. So we a Kenny McPeak horse, and Kenny likes to play spoiler on big days. So this is kind of the opposite end here, where she blew out a Keeneland field by 8.5 lengths. Then she won a first level Churchill Downs allowance by 9 lengths. So this is a filly who's kind of on the other end of the spectrum, where she has shown that, yeah, this is who she wants to be. And obviously, the morning line is going to show that, because we've jumped from the 30-1s and 25-1s. Now we're down to 5-1. And she's, I feel like, sitting pretty well. Like, she's not stuck on the rail here for a horse who has speed, who's been working well over this track. And she's definitely going to be, I think, a different situation than the four above her, where we have a pretty good idea of who Thorpedo Anna is.
Yeah, I kind of put her in the same category as Where's My Ring? Capable of winning this race. I just see her. I'm going to try to beat her with horses with better odds, thinking that she's going to. She's not been a mile and an eighth in her life, I think she's going to be forwardly placed. I think she's going to, at the very least, be chasing a hot pace and chasing it closely. And she might get down below 5-1. And I think I can, I'm going to try to beat her with some longer shot odds horses that I think will be running better late.
Yeah, for me, I think the question is, similar to the previous horse, then she had that big race that just popped up all of a sudden. I guess not the previous horse, but where's my ring, as Mark said. But you know, there's a little bit of difference there, you know, because she ran October, debut in October, won easy, then ran it in allowance in Churchill in November, won easy. You know, she ran second in the Goldenrod, you know, her first stakes company, her first stakes trip, and you know, I think she ran okay in that. She had a little bit of a slow start and probably didn't have her best effort that day. But then, you know, and that got her 77 by her after, you know, after she got the 87 there at Churchill. But then she was off until March 30th. And she just, you know, she ran away with the fantasy at Oaklawn. You know, is that big jump? It's a little bit different than the other one because, you know, she hadn't, you know, she had that big break. And I think it's a little more easier to, it's a little easier to look at that maybe and say, you know what? She took that time off and she grew up and she matured. You know, she won purely on just physical ability and talent in those first two races, but she did need to step, you know, to grow up and mature to be at her, you know, potentially at her best. And I might give her a little more of a look than maybe than Mark. I think you can't throw her out. I think she's going to be stalking very early and you know,
I
it's
didn't
probably
mean to say she was a throw. I didn't mean to say she's a
oh no,
throwout.
not throw out. But just you know, I mean, she's in your like your second tier as opposed to your first tier is the way
Well,
I
I
see
see her more as I'm just going to try to get some better odds. She can
fair
win
enough.
this race. You know, I'm just going to because she's not been the distance, and I haven't looked probably not the Gazelle's a mile and an eighth, and the rest of them. If you didn't run the Gazelle, I don't know if you've done a mile and an eighth. So it's the same with all of them. But I just she can win this race, but I think she's going to get a little tired of it.
Well, and if we want to talk about like more less of the sheets and more on kind of like her you know, because pedigree does come into it, not as extensively now that we have sheets in front of us, but you know, Medaglia d'Oro has a very good record in this race. So, and she's by a son of Medaglia d'Oro. To play off of what Jared said, she had every reason to get better. You know, she's out of an Uncle Momer by a son of Medaglia d'Oro, so she had every reason to need that time off and get better. And you know, Medaglia d'Oro around this time strikes generally pretty well. A lot of his daughters or you know, daughters of sons of his have gone on to do big things. So I think Torpedo Anna for me is going to be pretty, you know, pretty close to my list of horses that I'll be very interested to see how she handles again the crowds and the noises, because you know, and that's an unknown for every horse, because they'll never see this again. But I mean, if she handles it well, she's been working so well at Churchill. Like I will be very keen, I think, on Torpedo Anna for me at least. Let's go down to my favorite name, Lemon Muffin. Trained by Dwayne Lucas. Lucas, you know, I think needs very, very little introduction. Lucas, if anyone can pull off an absolute mystery shocker, it'll be Dwayne Lucas. She's another one of those. She's 1 for 7. She took a maiden and she won the Grade 3 Honeybee by 3.5 lengths. Then she kind of went into that fantasy that Torpedo Anna won by 4 lengths, and she was, you know, 7th by over 10 lengths. So not kind of the performance you want to see going into this race. But before that, I mean, after her debut, she'd been a four-time bridesmaid. So she'd been, you know, she's been showing that she's been wanting to, but it's all been at the maiden level. So I think this is going to be one of those where Dwayne Lucas is going to really have to work some big magic, I think, to get her to take another step forward again.
I've got her kind of as my Budweiser long shot. She's not a horse I'm going to be putting $20 on her nose to win. I'm going to use her in my exotics. I'm going to bet her to show. You know, we were talking about Klarovich and Brown. I think Lucas means something in this race. He knows how to win this race. He, you know, better than anybody. He's put her in there for a reason. I'm just drawing a line through the fantasy, just a complete line through the fantasy. Funny pace scenario. And I over the years, I remember seeing it with The first horse that comes to mind is Thunder Gulch laying an egg in the bluegrass and winning the Derby. I'm sure it happens all the time that these horses don't have their best races in the last. As I think Secretariat lost the wood or something before he won the Derby. So it does happen in these big races with young horses. And another reason why I want to use her is because I think, looking at my pace scenario, she's going to be a horse that's running well late. And she's got speed. If you'll look at that work on April 27th, 58-1, the fastest,
A 58.
she obviously has speed. And I think she's going to take a break down the backside, just lope along and conserve her energy. And she's a horse that's going to use that speed late and run down some horses, I think.
Fair.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with anything that you're saying. I just look at the other horses that she beat in the Honey Bee, and I wonder, does that really tell us anything? I don't think she beat a lot. She finished ahead of Tappet Janelle, who we both said, or we all three said, nah, overmatched. So that's my big question about her. I totally see what you're saying, and certainly
100%.
if the race falls apart in front of her, could definitely be picking up the pieces late. But I just question what she's beaten so far.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming at this from a pace makes the race angle and thinking that she could be one if the pace is hot and some horses are doing, and the Oaks and the Derby, that happens quite a bit, that they go faster. There's always speed in those races. I can't
Yeah,
remember the
absolutely.
last time either one of them were dead slow, so and that's why I say I don't, I'm not sure if she can win this race, but I'd be careful, especially, and she's one to watch the odds on too. If she, for some reason, if she gets to 10-1, then it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense because she's 30-1 and she might pass some horses later.
Well, I mean, and that's fair, because then we're gonna, you mentioned her earlier. And she's, that she was going to be your speed of the speed, and she's actually drawn right next to Lemon Muffin, and that's the seven, Fiona's Magic, the daughter of St. Patrick's Day, who, for those who might not recognize his name, he is the full brother to American Pharaoh. She's a Florida bred, Stonehenge, and Stonehenge recently took home the I believe the Florida Breeder of the Year, if I remember correctly. I wrote the article, I should remember. But so Stonehenge has been kind of moving along, and Michael Yates is gonna have his shot at Oaks Glory, and Morningline's got her 30-1, but this is kind of what you mentioned earlier, Mark. This is a stone cold front runner. Like, if
Yeah,
she's oh.
she's got two choices: go fast, super fast, too fast to win this race, or take back and eat a bunch of dirt for the first time in her life. Neither one of them are good options. So I'm going to look other places.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder if that's what happened in the last race. She did not break on top, and she was sitting in fourth and second, fourth, fifth, and then she just quit. Did something else happen, or did she just think, you know
I
what?
actually have an answer for that. So
Okay.
they scoped her after that race, and she was loaded with mucus. At some juncture, kind of, I think right where you see where she stopped, I think that's where it caught up to her, because they mentioned afterwards that she, because she had, I think after her kind of going into it, people were expecting her to kind of do a lot better, and they said afterwards when they scoped her, she was so full of mucus, like they were at that point, they were not surprised that she stopped. So
Well, if she ran on March the 30th, she's basically had a month. If she scoped that dirty just a month ago, boy, it's hard to have them ready to run in 30 days.
And you look at her, I mean, it's not like, I mean, she's been training well, putting up some decent times, but it's not like she's just blowing the doors off. Well, heck, she's only got one recorded work since then. That was April 23rd, and that was
At Gulfstream.
1:15, 1:06. So
And not even over the surface either, like it's a Gulfstream. So she's, I don't think she's ever been on, been at Churchill Downs before. So this will be very interesting.
They, you know, just reading between the lines, I have no idea what's actually happening, but
Yeah.
they probably would have liked to have had her at Churchill, but they had to make a choice. Do we take
Yeah.
her out of her environment to, she needs some TLC until we, you know, if we're going to get her there, we can't be sending her to a new place, a new barn, a new, you
Yeah.
know, too far in advance. I have no idea that that's the case, but I could see that scenario as a reason why.
That's fair. Well, and if we look at, you know, and I was kind of looking at some like siblings, and because I like to look at kind of what siblings do. And in her case, she had a half brother, Cajun's Magic, who I think they thought well enough of him in 2022 that they actually tried to kind of get him onto the Florida Road to the Derby trail. And you know, he'd run fifth in the Holy Bowl, and then he kind of, you know, ran a long way eighth behind Wida Barrio in both of those situations. So it's so the mare consistently produces things that could potentially contest it, because in against the Florida Stakes competition, you know, he was extremely competitive. So it's not, you know, it's not unusual, I think, for this mare to produce something that early in its career could show enough to potentially be here. But you know, we're a long way out of Florida here. Like, she's going to be facing some very salty competition. So then we will go, and speaking of which, salty competition drawn to her outside is Tarifa. From what I've heard, I think she has been crowned the morning line favorite, if I remember correctly. This is Go Dolphin Blue, trained by Brad Cox. She is on a 3-race win streak. She's been off the board only once, and after and that's that was a fourth in an allowance at Churchill Downs. But judging by her running lines, where she kind of leaned in at the start, she lost a lot of length. She kind of never left fourth at that point behind Denim and Pearls, who would later go on and win a graded stakes race at Keeneland. So, you know, Tarifa has been keeping very good company, and there is a reason she's the favorite here. She's putting up, you know, and she ran a 95. She's been consistently stepping forward, as you both have mentioned, that you kind of want to see from horses. And she, you know, her most recent work at Churchill on the 26th was a 5 furlong work in 59-1 that put her at what, second of 25, I think. So she's absolutely been working like the favorite here, I think.
She's probably the well-deserved favorite, but again, at 7-2, and she might get down lower on
Oh
race
yeah.
day. I'm going to try to beat her, and again, I'm going back to the pace scenario and just trying to anticipate, you know, who's going to be doing their best running late on that long stretch, and I see her as. Now, she might be a super horse. She might be the horse who goes fast early and is still running fast late, you know. But I want to try to get some odds, and I'm just hoping that she gets caught up in a pace scenario that's a little too fast, a little too quick, that
Yeah.
it takes something out of her late in the race.
Well, you might not even need the pace scenario, because I remember in a couple of our rideouts, we had instances where she had something of a meltdown before her races, and those were on quieter days than what Derby's going to end up
Yeah, it
being.
doesn't help. Yeah.
So she might end up, you know, you might actually end up getting your price, because she might end up being her own worst enemy. You might not
Yeah.
need a pace meltdown
Yeah,
to do
yeah, yeah,
it.
yeah, yeah.
Now, for me, this is the one that I think is absolutely the one to beat. I mean, I just think, I think she's, if she continues to step forward, I don't think that the extra 16th is going to bother her. I think she's going to be able to sit out there on you just off the early speed, and you know she's in a good post, middle of the track, and just should be able to, you know, again, she won't be on the lead, but she'll be far enough out there that she's not going to be eating a whole lot of dirt. And I just think she can sit back there and just cruise right along and run away with it down the stretch. I'm not saying that I want to play her because I'm not going to like that odds. You know, certainly if I did, I would be backing her up with some longer shots behind her and you know in the second, third. But you know, I just to me she is the one to beat.
That's fair. Absolutely fair. She's a Bernardini out of an awesome again mare. And so, I mean, that's, yeah, you would
She
think
ought to be
that,
able to run all day.
yeah, distance is not going to be an issue for her at all. So we'll get to kind of scooch down to 9, Everland. And she is the former claimer turned Kentucky Oaks qualifier that we talked about. She's, 3 for 7 coming into this race, including a win in the Bourbonnais Oaks. She's one of those horses, we talked about this with Endlessly as well. She's one of those horses where all of her entire career has been on the grass or the synthetic. And, she's by Ariat, out of a Tappet mare. She has every reason to like the surface. But we kind of do wonder if this is really just a case of she's getting really good at the right time. And was the Bourbonnais Oaks kind of like we talk about sometimes, was that her Kentucky Oaks? Or, do we still think that she has something left to show and step forward to? Because, I mean, obviously the breeze on the 28th, it was the slowest on the day, but we don't know if that was just intended to be just a maintenance work to get air into her lungs, because she had been working at Keeneland pretty consistently and then Turfway before that. So do we think that this is that she has every right to take another step forward here since she has been improving since that claim? Or do we think that this is going to be one of those one-off horses?
Well, she might wind up being a very talented horse and win a lot of races, but I don't think Friday's going to be her day. Yeah, Arrogate, Unbridled Song, Tappet, that, doesn't scream Poly Track or turf, but, I assume these people know what they're doing. And for some reason, all 7 of her starts, they've not tried her on the dirt, Jonathan Thomas or Eric Foster, for whatever reason, maybe it was just circumstance. They're at Turfway for the winter, but she's never they've never even tried her on the dirt. And I guess just the biggest thing is when I look over to the far right and see who they've been running against, I want to see those bold names where they've been taking on the other contenders. They don't have to win all those races, but I sure like to see that they've been in the mix with those horses. And she's just too big of a question mark for me.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And you look down at the line on her works. Churchill Downs, 51-4, slowest of the day. Keeneland on the dirt, 5 furlongs, 103-4, 29th out of 30. Turfway Park, 101-1.
Seventh and
Okay.
fourth.
Thoroughbred Center, 49. Thoroughbred Center, 51. Turfway Park, 47-3. She likes the poly track, looks to me like. So, no thanks.
Like it's kind of like the idea that it's like it's you always want to see them trying something new. Maybe not on Kentucky Oaks today, though.
You can't blame him for taking a shot,
Absolutely.
but I'd
Which
sure
is
like to see her somewhere else.
yeah. So I think she's improved enough definitely to be something special for her connections. But I'm kind of with you guys here that this might be kind of like with the first kind of like our rail horses this year. I'm also a little concerned that this might be asking too much of her. Like
Yeah,
to
I don't know if Eric Foster trains at Woodbine or not, but that's where I'd be heading with her.
I mean,
Yeah.
she's ran there. So, I mean, she went back in
Oh,
October of
yeah,
last
but
year.
that was before
Oh,
Eric
yeah,
Foster died.
that's right. But in terms of the horse, she has run there. So, and they've got plenty up there, and Woodbine has a very good racing program too. So, it'll definitely be interesting to see where these horses go once they come out of this race and how they do. Because I think a lot of the concerns for horses who might be in over their head is do they kind of shut down afterwards? So we'll definitely see how a lot of horses come out of this as well. But to our inside, we'll swap over and kind of have a not a complete, totally different change, but we are going to get into Champagne. She's a $300,000 Keeneland September into Mischief Filly. She's out of a Spitestown mare. She's bred by Robert and Luana Lowe, trained by Ian Wilkes. And she's another one of those horses where she's never been off the board. She's kind of like in terms of placings coming in here, she's going backwards even as her numbers get better. So this is going to be a fascinating kind of effort for her to see if she's gonna do another one of those things where she places, you know, further back again and her numbers get higher, or does she actually run the race of her life from the front end? Because she's kind of gone from sitting third and fourth and being able to win, and then trying to like lead and running third. So this is gonna be one of those situations where wherever she lands might very much dictate whether or not she wins this in this situation for her.
The Oaks isn't a good race to get the scenario she needs to do well. She strikes me as a horse who doesn't have much chance of winning the race, but is a very important horse for a lot of other horses. She will dictate a lot of how the early stages of this race go. And I don't give her much of a chance of winning it, but she could win it or lose it for about five or six other horses in the race.
And well, and she's seen a lot of this race too, and she's kind of been in the mix with Fiona's Magic and Leslie's Rose and that Devonadale, where Leslie's Rose is definitely going to be one of the favorites here. So she's seen some tough fillies, but you know, it's a question of has she just kind of stayed in one place and everybody else has gone forward where she has not, and she just needs time. Because it does, to me at least, it doesn't look like she's so much improving as she is. She's kind of running the way she always has been, and everybody else just keeps leaving her behind. So I don't know. Jared, thoughts, opinions?
I just there's just too many more that I like better.
That's fair.
I think Mark is spot on though. I mean, I think she could dictate a lot of what happens in this race though. I certainly agree with that.
That's fair. So we'll go down to Ways and Means, who is another one of the Chad Brown Klarovich stables horses. So they've got a pair in here. She's a practical joke, out of a Warriors Reward mare. She has run three times in her career, just once this year in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, behind Power Squeeze, who we will get to, who's drawn to her outside. Is this another one of those question marks, or do we see her a little more clearly considering she's run, you know, in the low 80s and 90 range for all three of these races?
She strikes me as the kind of, again, Brown, Klarovich, she's going to go on to win graded stakes races, earn, $1 million. If she stays sound, she's going to have a great career. Is she going to win on Friday, going a mile and an eighth for the first time with her running style? And she's the kind of filly we could look up at the end of the year and she's a super filly, but coming up on Friday, I'm going to try to, again, as short odds, going to, well, just probably if she gets off around 5 to 1, that might be the best odds you ever got on her life. But I just think, ton of talent, going to be a very accomplished filly. I just, again, see her. There's a That's the problem for these stalkers in front and speed horses. I don't see a ton of out and out speed, but there's a lot of them that have some speed. There's going to be a couple that are just have to go, and they're going to go super fast. And I see a trail of five or six, seven other horses that are going to be, you say you're a stalker, but are you a stalker that's hanging out closer to the back of the pack, or are you a stalker that's hanging out just two or three lengths from the lead? And that's where I see a lot of these horses, and I see her part of that kind of up front, maybe not on the lead, but chasing a pretty fast lead. And that last 16th, I see her as a filly who's probably slowing down a lot more than finding her last gear.
Yeah, I think I might like this one a lot more if she was going a mile. And you, I mean, look at that work on the 26th. I mean, she went 46-1 at Churchill. She likes the track, it would seem, and she can go fast.
She's gonna have go on her mind too.
That's right. That's right. After that, and maybe that's why he did it. He doesn't want her stalking. Maybe he wants her out front in this race and just see if she can go and they can hang on and hang on. I don't know, but you know, so she's gonna be sharp. And I just, if she was in a mile stake, I'd bet the farm on her.
Well, and her siblings kind of do the same thing. She's a what, three-quarter sister to Highly Motivated, who kind of went the way of the Gotham, the bluegrass. Like, he placed third in the Gotham, placed second in the bluegrass in 21. He ran in the Derby. That was the year Medina Spirit won, so he ran 10th and then was elevated to 9th when that horse got disqualified later. But from that point on, like, he was a pretty consistent little horse. He was pretty cool. He ran in the Iceland, he ran in the Monmouth Cup. So, and even before that, there's Surge Capacity on the turf, who put up, you know, in grade ones, ran in two consecutive grade ones, was putting up, you know, 96s, almost broke the hundreds, in the mile turf categories, like you had mentioned. She was a Flintshire, and she won the grade one matriarch, going a mile on the turf. You might be right. There might be some distance limitations because her siblings have shown a lot of it too on either surface in this situation, on either surface. Like, definitely when they cut back, Highly Motivated, and they cut back Surge Capacity to the mile races, they did much better, you know, and they were by In a Mischief in Flintshire. So I think the mare very strongly kind of, you know, influences her offspring here. So you might be right that this might just be a bit too long for her. Roll over into Power Squeeze. You mentioned her earlier. A lot of these fillies are going to be seeing each other again, and in this situation for Ways and Means and Power Squeeze, that is going to be the case here. She was the winner of the Gulfstream Park Oaks, by a solid length. She's a Union Rags filly. Kind of an awesome again mare. Lee of Harms, Jorge Delgado is training. She's on a four race win streak, and that's hard to argue.
I don't know. You know, she's got on the morning line, she's 12-1. If you can get the Gulfstream Park's Oaks winner off a 92 buyer at 12-1, you should do it. I mean,
Yeah, for
you,
sure.
absolutely.
I don't think she's going to get off. I don't know why they've got her at 12-1.
I think it's because Just FYI is right next to her. The juvenile champion from last year.
Yeah, it might be, I guess, but I think the pace scenario suits her down to the ground. If I would, I like her to a big chance to win this race. She'd be one of my picks. And I have a hard time imagining there's going to be great value as they're loading up, but 12-1 is super value on this filly right now, and I think she's got a big chance to win.
I mean, this is where I landed, especially again that juicy 12-1. I mean, hell, I think if you can get 6-1, seven, five, 6-1, 7-1 all day long, you
I
know,
do seven to two.
just I really like it. Go ahead.
I do 7-2.
7-2 even. All right, there you go. So this is my pick trying to beat Brad's horse. What was her name again? Yeah, Tarifa.
Tarifa.
Really like her. Really like the way she her style. I'm with you, Mark. I think this fits her right down to the ground, and this is going to be my play for sure.
We're now kind of getting into the juvenile champion and the very expensive filly, likely, you know, the right next to Tarifa in terms of the wagering, especially considering in terms of rumors, they have been working extremely, extremely well. Just FYI, our good friend Junior Alvarado is aboard. She's, I mean, juvenile champion, you know, the Ashland Last Out, her first time back to the races since she won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies by that neck. And Jody's Pride herself is a tough little filly here too as well. So Justify filly out of a street cry mare. George Krikorian held on to her through a stroke of luck, judging by what he had mentioned in a feature that the TDN had published. She's going to be, I think, a lot of money is going to be sunk into Just FYI, Leslie's Rose to her outside, and Tarifa. So I think, you know, it's hard to look at what she's done when she's won well over $1 million at this point. Like, numbers wise, she hasn't had really the opportunity to post anything different. because she has only had one race this year. Are we worried potentially that it was a 10-point jump from that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies win in terms of buyer speed figure, despite running second to Leslie's Rose? But do we think that maybe this is going to turn into another one of those, well, she needed the race apparently kind of situations for her?
That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm banking on. It would not surprise me in the least if she wins this race, but I'm going to try to beat
Fair. All right.
her. And for those, and I really don't have much to hang my hat on. She could, and that, but that's one thing I noticed too. She has won three races, earned 1.4 million, but who did she beat as a 2-year-old? There's no black names over here, and it was a big jump up in numbers. Is she going to bounce? I could just have rose-colored glasses on. I might be thinking, yeah, you saw what you wanted to see before the race, but I'm going to try to beat.
All right.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I feel like. If I'm gonna take short odds, it's gonna be on the 14, quite frankly. But I'm not gonna take those short odds. I think she's I think her big race was back in November.
The juvenile fillies. Well, and then in kind of for Leslie's Rose, then where she's been kind of defying stereotypes, because we talked a lot about how a lot of these million-dollar plus horses never really pan out, and here's one of those situations where apparently it's happening. She's an Into Mischief out of a Galileo mare, which that's a very interesting cross. That opens up a lot of doors, I think, for European breeders and people kind of on the outside looking in here. But that's another episode in and of itself. But she's from the John Gunther program, and that's, for those who don't know, that is the he is responsible essentially for Justify. So Whisper Hill Farm, we all know Mandy Pope loves her mares, loves her filly. She spends a lot of money, and it's good to see her having a very strong, I feel, Kentucky Oaks contender here, and someone who has absolutely every reason to win.
Yeah, she ticks off all the boxes for me. I think she's the most likely winner. I'm going to use her in Power Squeeze and maybe a cross on both of them, or win on one, place and show on the other. Use those two in the exotics and a long shot with Lemon Muffin. But I just Leslie's Rose. She ticks all the boxes. She class, speed, carried the speed over a route of ground. She doesn't seem to necessarily need to be out there in a dog fight to have her head in front at the quarter and a half. She can ration that speed out, it looks like. And I would do an exacta with Leslie's Rose and Power Squeeze, and just hope Power Squeeze no noses out Leslie's Rose so you get more money.
She reminds me a lot of Todd Pletcher's other really good filly, Malathot, because she was one of those million-dollar fillies, really well-bred, needed to be kept together, and she could more or less just take care of herself. And that's a lot of who Leslie's Rose reminds me of.
I'd like to know a little bit more about it's probably out there somewhere and I just haven't bothered to look, but that race two back, the Devona Dale, where she ran third, beaten by Fiona's Magic and Into Champagne, horses that we've dismissed in this race for the most part. And so you kind of got to wonder, what happened there. Does she just need to be going longer? And if that is the case, she's going to be awful dangerous, I think.
I think it was the layoff. I think that's what I'm
Correct.
telling myself anyway, January to March, she needed it.
We could probably get a good amount of information out of it just watching some of the replays as well. But I think that was one of those situations where I think she just didn't have a good day, honestly. Like, I just think she just didn't have a good day, because when she does have a good day, she's very, very much the best. So we do have two also eligibles left, the 15 and the 16. Obviously, for the Oaks, only the top 14 will get in. We believe they have until Thursday for the also eligibles. If anybody scratches above, the also eligibles will draw in. So for our also eligibles, we have the 15-hour Pretty Woman, a $900,000 Keeneland September purchase. She's a Medaglia d'Oro filly out of Dazzletown, the Spitestown mare. This is a Woods Edge Godolphin bred, trained by Steve Asmussen. She's one of those as well, who's coming in here with her career best effort last out in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, where she ran second to Tarifa, who we have rated pretty highly here. Looking at her, I think, you know, if she does draw in, I think she's going to end up contributing to the pace scenario, because it looks like she's got plenty of it to offer. And I'm wondering if that work on the 28th, if that was just more intended to be a maintenance breeze than anything else, because we've seen a lot of those lately where it's just intended to get air in their lungs. And she's got, you know, she's got experience on the sloppy tracks. She's won in both situations. She's won going away over sloppy tracks. Bodes even better because it looks like it's going to rain again on Friday and Saturday. So.
I was not told to look at the also eligibles.
That's fine.
So what Patty said sounds good to me.
All right, there we go. Works for me.
And, yeah, you know, she won two races. They've both been on the slot.
Yeah.
She hadn't won in Stakes Company yet. She did run second in the Fairground Oaks. That was the first time on a dry track. First time, but you know, she has run a distance before. You know, I just, you know, probably won't get in, but if she does, you know, I think she's going to be out there wing dinging early, and I think she will not hold it all the way around.
That's fair. And the last also eligible is Candied, who was also Triple Crown nominated. Candy Ride Philly out of a Roaring Fever mare. Todd Pledger, Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. We've seen that combination before. She was the Alcibiades winner last October at Keeneland, and I, you know, she kind of petered out from there. She, you know, ran third in the juvenile fillies and then ran fourth in the Ashland behind Leslie's Rose, just FYI, and then Impel, who was a Judmont horse. I think a lot of people kind of got a little too high on her a little too quickly. She's also, I think that was like her third lifetime start or something, and I think I saw somewhere in her pedigree, like, she's definitely from a family that gets better as they get older. So Candied kind of ran into a bunch of buzzsaws last month at Keeneland. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how she develops going on from here, and if she's just gonna kind of tail off, or if she's going to kind of refine whatever made her that, you know, late good, you know, the late fall of her 2-year-old year.
Yep. I want to let you, I'm just going to say not for me.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's one of those, like, the also eligibles are weird, but, like, we may as well give them a quick shout out just in case they do get in, because crazy things have happened, and they happen every year on Oaks and Derby. So that is our field of 14 for the Kentucky Oaks, including the two also eligibles. Whether or not they draw in, that's, you know, we'll find out as we get closer to the day. That's going to be it for our preview of the Kentucky Oaks. And so, you know, listeners, you will be hearing this on Wednesday. So make sure that once you're done listening to here, if you've got any strong opinions on who you think is going to be the Kentucky Oaks winner, or if you have some horses that you absolutely think that were absolutely 100% wrong on, that happened before. Let us know in the comments. Send us a quick text. Send us in your choices for the Kentucky Oaks and also for the Kentucky Derby, and we'll read some of those out.
That's Go to our Facebook page and post under the comments underneath the post about the podcast. So
yep, find it. And we'll be able to see them. But other than that, thanks everybody for tuning in for the Oaks preview, and then make sure you come back on Friday morning for the Kentucky Derby preview.